sensual by nature. With your host, Oceana, nothing is off limits here. We'll talk about sensuality, intimacy, love, touch, peaceful living, tantra, and much more. Now, here's your host, Oceana. Hello, and welcome to Sensual by Nature with Dakini Oceana. I'm so happy you're here today. I'm sitting here in my beautiful sanctuary in New York, looking out over a garden, thinking about Tantra and what it really means. What is Tantra? Well, let me ask you, what is Tantra? As a vibrational being on the path of tantric understanding, you may know or feel that Tantra is sometimes misunderstood, and people who seek its gifts are often misunderstood for doing so. It seems to me, from what I hear from the special seekers I guide as a Dakini, that being on the tantric path, they sometimes feel they'd rather keep it to themselves verbally. As seekers on the path, of course, we understand the process energetically and know in our souls that the pure bliss and love we learn to energetically vibrate throughout our bodies and minds moves through us all day long and in turn flows out into the world as completely positive lightness for all who we share life with. But we also understand that it is better to simply let Tantra live through us in action and being, and in many cases best not attempt to verbalize what path we do follow to those who don't understand or might misinterpret. You may relate. Your tantric path may be something you choose to keep to yourself verbally. You may wish to hold your devotion and practice in a safe and private realm, free of judgment from those who don't understand, but who also most likely and unknowingly benefit from your devotions. For most on the tantric path, Tantra is a private place only shared verbally with those who are also seekers, with your chosen Dakini, guides, and other people of the tribe, as we call it. We all know Tantra as a beautiful spiritual form of yoga, the cultivation of energy from within, cleansed and transmuted into love and radiance, right? Tantra is a beautiful spiritual form of yoga. It is the cultivation of energy from within, cleansed and transmuted into love and radiance. So why is Tantra so misunderstood? Well, I'd like to discuss this a bit with you today, and then we'll talk more about the actual practices that we do. First, I'd like to elucidate with some more clarity for you what we are on this path to develop in our lives. It seems Tantra can also be misinterpreted by its seekers, so I simply wish to clarify a bit more. Mainly, Tantra is misinterpreted due to an over-embracing of the sexual aspect, or I'd say an under-embracing of the sacred quality of sexual energy. In tantric practice, we learn to use sexual energy as a pathway to purifying our nervous system, cleansing emotional blocks, and enlightening our mind toward higher states of experiencing bliss, love, and true intimacy with our bodies and others. Yes, you see, in tantric practice, we learn to use our sexual energy as a pathway to purifying our nervous system, cleansing our emotional blocks, and enlightening the mind toward higher states of experiencing bliss, love, and true intimacy with our body and others. Ultimately, we learn to cultivate inner intimacy and happiness from the inside and communicate this serenity out to others to make the world a more peaceful and loving place from within. However, when the sexual component of tantric practice is grossly magnified and misunderstood, the sexual aspect of tantra can become an obsession for tantra, or an obsession with being against tantra. Why so? Well, this is because sex is about deeply personal pleasure, right? I mean, we're all fascinated by the deep pleasure, especially our own. Yet the pursuit of the goal of pleasure, as one may know it, as you may understand in yourself, can become a preoccupation or a fixation. You can fall into a fixation on the result of pleasure, the result as you think you know pleasure to be, or what pleasure means to you, or the overarching experience of shame in relationship to your body, pleasure, and sexual energy or activity. This can cause a block in your ability to take in the true yogic and blissful nature of Tantra. So you see, Tantra is yoga. But for some reason, sitting yoga practices like we see all across the United States and on television, schools, etc., is totally acceptable. Whereas the cultivation of sexual energy, chi, as some may call it, or ki, life force energy, all of the yoga studios thriving in mainstream culture are in fact helping people channel and purify their sexual energy in their bodies, which is great. They're just not in the conscious form of understanding how to take that into tantric practice, or that's not their focus per se. You may know, in fact, that Tantra is an ancient yogic practice from the pre-Hindu tribes and religions. You may also feel that sexuality is looked down upon by many people, mainly due to religious beliefs. I'm not here to discuss at length how religion has played a part in the shaming of sexuality to the point that people feel obsessed with achieving sexual power over sexual enlightenment, right? That's a different conversation, but there are many reasons, I will say, why religion has chosen to do this over the centuries. In fact, to some people and in some regards, the reasons for this choice are deemed helpful. In many viewpoints, the functioning of society is dependent on some form of abstinence from pleasure and within the context of a judgment placement centered in the concept of morality. Due to the rise of religious concepts and forms in the West, some may say that we had what they consider a successful industrial revolution, mainly in part due to religion's ability to take people's pursuit of sexual pleasure out of the social equation, and instead placing the value and moral system in society only on procreation, family economy, patriotism, and a work ethic. Right? But this is called behavior modification rather than internal confidence and heartfelt values built through empathy and human instinct for interconnectivity, which is what Tantra is based in. Again, I'm not here to discuss either way, right, wrong, left, right. I simply introduce these ideas as something for you to consider in yourself as you explore your own internal shame and beliefs around sex. And then moving your awareness into trying to understand what sexual energy is in your body beyond the active pursuit, obsession, or shame-based pursuit of sexual pleasure or power. Tantra is beyond all of this. Tantra is a way to understand how to honor your sexual energy, your body energy, and cultivate its powers as a source of radiance, love, and complete focus of potentiality. I'm going to take a moment here and just give you some time to think about all that. I'll be right back. And we will discuss a lot more about what sexual energy is in your body, how to honor that sexual energy in your body, and really what it means to learn to channel and cultivate that energy. All right, I'll see you in just a few minutes. Keep breathing deeply. Sensual by Nature, with your host, Oceana. Hello, hi. Oh, so where were we? I love talking about Tantra. I hope you're still with me, seekers. So, what is Tantra? What is sexual energy? Well, without understanding and honoring our sexual energy, honoring our bodies, our spirits, our masculine and feminine energies within, there can be no tantra. There can be no higher yoga, no higher mind or oneness of being. So yes, here we are. We are vibrational beings on the planet in a material form, seeking. So what is tantra? Of course, from what we've said already, we know it is everything in yoga, in energetics, in metaphysics. It is the practice of developing some discipline in the form of specific techniques that we can use either with a partner or alone, with the intention of learning to cultivate sexual energy in a pre-orgasmic state. That is the practice of tantra. I mean, that's my definition, and I've read a lot of books, and, you know, of course, this is all my own writing here, but you can dispute my definition, but I would say it is the practice of developing some discipline in the form of specific techniques that we can use either with a partner or alone, with the intention of learning to cultivate sexual energy in pre-orgasmic states. This is the practice of tantra. In traditional tantric practice, we learn that sex is not just for pleasure or escape or power. We learn that devoting our practices to cultivating sexual energy in pre-orgasmic states helps us understand how sexual energy gradually becomes part of a larger picture of our overall yield of practices that lead to enlightenment. Ah. So let's discuss energy. Sexual energy, or chi, ki, life force, prana, kundalini, body energy, pulse. The same energy moving through you in sex is the same energy that so many people are cultivating in all of the energetic practices so popular now, from mainstream yoga, from health and fitness, from mindful Buddhist practices. And yes, in simply the act of walking down the street. Your sexual energy is your body energy. There are different sensations of heightened pleasure and ecstatic response, but the energy is the same. And from the same wellspring within the core of your vibrational being. In fact, sexual energy, ki, chi, body energy, life force energy, oh my goodness, it's the same energy that exists in the cells of a plant, of a tree, of an animal. I'd even say in the middle of the ocean, and in the middle of the magma, the center of the earth, and the atmospheres holding this mysterious and amazing galaxy in some kind of a pattern that we can't even begin to understand. Sexual energy, life force energy, ki, body energy, energy is the energy of life. In Tantra, we are honoring and cultivating the energy of life. Have you ever noticed that many people have a tendency to raise their eyes and roll their tongue back during sexual activity and orgasm? I mean, I'm sure you've watched your partner orgasm before. Maybe you've watched, I don't know, videos of people making love or something, or you've seen people orgasm. This tendency to raise the eyes and roll the tongue back is pretty common. It's interesting. You probably don't even notice it so much until now. Now that I said it, you might notice it more, but it's a natural reflex that occurs when ecstatic energy is coursing through the body. This is the rise of ecstatic conductivity. The fact that many, even those who don't do yoga, experience these sorts of reflexes during sex is a testament to the latent ecstatic conductivity that exists in everyone. Think about it. Again, it's automatic yoga. Promoting this energy in your own body systematically through yogic sitting practices and tantric sexual practices is not only an important part of how we move toward enlightenment, it also unravels the mystery of how sexual energy functions within us all the time, on every single level. So the reflexes of the eye and the tongue are indicators of further possibilities, cultivating the experience of ongoing conductivity in our nervous system. Such an experience doesn't end with orgasm. It's not about reaching orgasm. It's an energetic conductivity that moves through us around the clock. The methods of all these energy practices that we talk about, they aim to promote this, right? Think about it. We practice yoga, we study yoga, we learn tantra, we practice tantra, we channel energy in many different ways, through art forms, through expressions of all kinds, athletics. It's all based in energy and the movement of energy throughout the body. And it's the movement through this ecstatic conductivity, this movement of energy throughout the body that sort of moves throughout your entire nervous system and expresses through you into action. It's happening all the time, in your body, around the clock. And the methods of all energy practices aim to promote this. The overall process is really simple. We're cultivating an inner silence and ecstatic conductivity through daily deep meditation, spinal breathing, pranayama, and other sitting practices. Ultimately, these are the basis of the tantric sexual practices, right? Many people think that it's about having better sex and this and that, but real tantric practice is about learning to be in complete resonance with your own inner conductivity, your own inner silence, your own inner ecstatic experience. And if you've worked with me and or read anything that I write, or any other tantra teacher, you've probably learned that we focus a lot on breath and about attuning to this inner silence and this natural vibration of energy in your body, first and foremost, and throughout the entire practice. And we always move through deep meditations. We do breathing pranayama, we do fire breath, we move the energy through the chakra system. We do this in all sitting practices, of course, in line with our preference of which practices we like to do more and our lifestyle. But this is the foundation of all yoga practice and tantra practice. If you don't understand that, then you're missing out on your true path in tantric seeking, because tantra is not about reaching out to a partner to try to get high off their energy or melt your energy with their energy to get high and then move on. It's about cultivating a very deep inner silence and inner bonding with your own ecstatic energy. It's when this blissful inner silence and ecstatic conductivity arise and meet in us that we have this endless ability to make love with everything on a cellular level. This is tantra. It's then that we learn to bubble over. We actually don't even learn to bubble over. We just do bubble over in this ecstatic bliss of energy that's just pouring out of our bodies in divine love. And that's the natural fruition of our human evolution. At that point, there's no more struggle. We're just in the flow of pure, ecstatic conductivity of energy in our bodies. We're pure joy in and throughout all the circumstances in our life. That is what we are. And this energy continues to move through us and unfold as we go through the process of purification and opening of our nervous system. That is tantra practice. Once we get to that stage, a simple lifting of our eye at any time will send us into a reverie of ecstatic bliss. All of life is divine to the one who's constantly in love and in love making. Not love making in genital touching, but in the absolute divine connection to our body energy, to raising the pre-orgasmic states of bliss in our body to purifying and opening our nervous system, to letting go of shame, to letting go of defenses, to letting go of anxiety, melting the blocks and moving into divine oneness with all source. This is what leads us to a permanent ecstatic bliss, an outpouring of divine love. This is enlightenment. If this is your interest and this is your path, of course, tantric sexual practices are an important skill to develop. Tantric practices are an application where we're cultivating sexual energy upward through our bodies, getting it unlocked from just our genitals, and moving it into our nervous system so that we can gradually purify and move higher into higher vibrational states and channel more love and more electricity and become a conduit for this source that we are then radiating throughout our bodies into others and into all that we do. I get so excited talking about this, and I hope you're feeling me. So, I think we'll take a little break here, and I will come right back and be with you again, and we'll discuss more about the application of some of these postures and a little bit more about intimacy with the self. All right, I'm looking forward to seeing you back here in a few minutes. Keep breathing, keep feeling, keep soaking in all your experiences right now. Welcome back. Sensual by nature with your host Oceana. Hello, here we are. Hi. Hope you're doing great. I wish I could see you right now. Well, let's just dive back in. As I discussed briefly earlier, Tantra is an application of the same principle used in seated yoga postures and related methods like you see in the most popular forms of yoga all over the U.S. right now. In all these yogic practices, we are cultivating sexual energy or chi or ki or body energy upward into our nervous system. In seated and other forms of yoga, the energy is being purified using breath and movement, just like we do in tantra practice. And we do a lot of spinal twists, and we do a lot of opening up of the backing, you know, the back arches of your spine, and doing the cat-cow. Those are more kundalini-based yoga stretches. But in all yoga art forms, I call it, you are working with opening up energy in your body and learning to purify and channel that energy throughout your nervous system. Tantra is just a more advanced form of this same focus. It's a yoga which is simply mastered at a higher level because we're working with the pre-orgasmic meditation and cultivation of sexual energy as we gradually learn to purify that through the nervous system by using the full range of energetic practices, starting at your root, moving the energy through your second chakra, really consciously trying, you know, breathing and moving the energy into your third chakra, into opening up your heart, your throat, and, you know, your third eye, your crown, and beginning to identify where you're blocked, why you might be blocked there, what some of the emotional issues are that you're hanging on to, and it becomes a psychotherapeutic process, as you know, if you've been studying Tantra for a while or worked with me. If our desire is strong to bring out the active sex life into the realm of yoga, Tantra is an important skill to develop. Especially if you are an alive being and you like to have sex often, which is wonderful. A lot of your sex life can be shifted using the methods of Tantra. Your partner doesn't even necessarily have to be into it. But in terms of learning to consistently preserve and cultivate sexual energy, you can follow some of the lessons for ecstatic living. like I was just saying, around awakening your ecstatic kundalini energy and learning to become pre-orgasmic. Also learning to be able to go for a long while in a pre-orgasmic state without, for men, without ejaculation. For women, learning to let go of some of the numbness in the pelvic area and open up the G-spot and open up the yoni to experiencing more heightened sensation. A lot of women hold a lot of emotion in their sexual center, and it's hard for them to have heightened orgasmic energy in their body. So women, just as much as men, practice Tantra and need to learn to open their body up to experiencing a full body pre-orgasmic states of heightened energy. And men, it's really helpful to learn to stay in the pre-orgasmic state without going straight to orgasm or ejaculation, as a means to cultivate this energy throughout your body. Providing a full union for your partner and you to explore the heights of tantric union and purification of energy together is in the next level of Tantra. Ultimately, it starts with you learning to connect to your body energy and explore the heights of ecstatic, energetic conductivity throughout your body, first and foremost. But if you're in the practice of learning about Tantra and learning about cultivating pre-orgasmic energy, it doesn't mean you have to stop your current sex life. That can go on naturally as before. The practices of Tantra are centered around cultivating sexual energy, and the methods of Tantra are here to support the overall goals of a full scope, you know, a full system of yoga practices, without putting any kind of limits on the freedom that you have to make love whenever, however you like. There's no judgments about what the right kind of lovemaking or the wrong is. It's really important to understand that. Tantra is more about applying and gradually mastering the methods that help to free us from any negative stigmas or defenses or anxieties that we hold around sex or our own sexuality or our bodies, our own sensuality, our own experience of the sensual world within us, around us. But in Tantra, sex becomes another space, you see. Tantra is not just about heightened sex, but in Tantra, sex becomes another space for our spiritual capabilities. One of the many means we have to continually nudge our nervous system toward the higher purpose of our enlightenment. I'm going to say that again. In Tantra, we really learn that sex becomes another space of our spiritual capabilities. One of the many means we have to continually nudge our nervous systems toward the higher purpose of our enlightenment. Sexual relations become an aid to our spiritual revolution rather than remaining an obstacle. And in that, again, that doesn't mean that your partner has to necessarily be practicing Tantra, but learning how you relate to them and how you relate to yourself, you begin to experience this evolution of spiritual understanding in yourself. And this type of relationship doesn't remain an obstacle for you in your growth, because obstacles begin to dissolve through the practice of Tantra, and solutions or through the process of loving and empathy and compassion, you just naturally begin to help dissolve the blocks in other people too, as you do the same in yourself. So at the same time, we gradually come to enjoy sex in ways we may have never imagined. So good Tantra is just really liberating all the way around. I'm going to talk a little bit about intimacy and inner lovemaking, because I've kind of mentioned it a few times here and I want to get into a little bit more. True union is beyond thinking, feeling, clairvoyance, etc. True union is beyond the idea of the other. This is the paradox. The best way to find true union with another person is by finding union in ourselves. And this is what I've been saying over and over again, right? There is no personal agenda to get in the way when we're seeking union in ourselves. It is just divine self in one serving divine self in the other. True intimacy is 100% service to the other without expectation of receiving anything in return. Intimacy isn't something that can be attained or hurtled into. It is known by letting go, by surrendering, by giving everything. But more than that, it requires a transformation on the functioning of our nervous system at the most fundamental level, and this can be accomplished through yoga. The desire for union is good. Frustration can come as we point desire outward to attain something instead of letting go inward. Even the process of looking into another person's eyes is often outward, unless we're looking from the perspective of inner silence, pure bliss consciousness, cultivated in deep meditation. If we use our desire as motivation to do spiritual practice, then we'll find what we're seeking, both in ourselves and in our lover. The only true intimacy to be found is in our own enlightenment. This is an internal affair in each of us. The divine union of our inner polarities, that is how we come to it. Then, when we make love, we become the loving, and there is no question about some place to get to or some hurdle to jump. It just melts away. As we become the caressing, the practices, we become the caressing, we become. In yoga, we don't surmount or overcome our obstacles, we dissolve them, so the inherent inner light can shine through. This is the secret. Everything is changed by that one simple principle, and by the practices that stimulate the reality of it in our nervous system. The suggestion is to redirect the desire toward wanting to unfold energy. Then things will happen. But we must be willing to engage in the daily practices. We must be willing to engage in the daily practices of experiencing life. We must engage in the daily practices of slowing down, opening up our senses, experiencing our bodies, and simply experiencing life as it is, becoming present. That is when life will expand in indescribable ways, and so will our lovemaking both inner, in intimacy with ourselves, and outward, in loving relationships with others, and in lovemaking. So, I'll be back in just a minute, and we will continue to discuss a little bit more about Tantra today. And I hope you're hanging on with me and thinking about all the stuff we're talking about. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Sensual by Nature with your host, Oceana. Discussion and exploration of what is Tantra, trying to elucidate some of the misconceptions and fixations on certain aspects people often think Tantra is about, where we want to open up to the true potential that Tantra can create in your life if practiced with true intention and seeking. Now, if we're asking what is the definition of tantric practice, then what we have to say it is the preservation and cultivation of sexual energy or chi or ki or life force energy as part of a yoga practice. It does not mean celibacy, though it can be that. What we mean and what we do in tantric practice is preserve and cultivate sexual energy as part of the whole of yoga practices. Genital orgasm is not a part of that. Genital orgasm has little to do with spiritual progress, except when it is understood and expanded pre-orgasmically to an unending whole body ecstasy. Genital orgasm isn't bad, and I wouldn't say that, but it's not the goal of Tantra. The goal of Tantra is to learn to expand the pre-orgasmic life force or sexual energy in the body to become a meditation or an unending body ecstasy, which permeates throughout all that you do in all of your life. It's the learning to cultivate that energy to become ecstatic life force energy throughout your nervous system and body, throughout all that you do. The rise of pre-orgasmic ecstasy is nature's way of calling us to the spiritual realm. Genital orgasm is nature's way of calling us to reproduction. Hence, any teaching that claims to give bigger, longer, better orgasms is not really tantric. It's only about having better sex, which is honestly what many people are looking for because they have a fixation and an obsession and some shame around sex. But that's not Tantra. Not that there's anything wrong with wanting better sex or having better sex at all. But let's just be clear that Tantra is a yoga practice, and it's not just about great sex. Of course, your lovemaking will become more ecstatic and more beautiful and more enhanced through this practice of tantric yoga and the preservation and cultivation of sexual energy. But it is not the focus on genital orgasm. No, we're not anti-orgasm. I don't think you got that from what I said, but I just want to be clear. And we're not here to deny our humanity, but we are here to nudge ourselves, really, to the best ability that we have toward our divine, toward our true potential, using the best means that we can find. We might slip off this way or that way every day. It doesn't matter. What matters is our continued favoring of the principles and practices that purify and open our nervous system. Life can become an easy sort of meditation like that. When we begin to favor natural principles that enable our nervous system to purify and open, life becomes a beautiful flow of energetic opening and awakening, and we become serene and meditative in how we relate to and respond to our body, our emotions, and our thoughts. Nothing is accomplished by negative judgments, so when we slip and we move back into fear-based expression or obsessive thought or fixations on pleasure, fixation on goals or power or manipulation over others due to fear, we become more aware of that and we're able to adjust ourselves, take some time, pull back, and just pick up where we left and keep going in the direction that we know that leads us home, which is our spiritual progress. This is part of Tantra practice, part of the process of cultivating sexual energy is gently favoring preservation and cultivation of energy through thick and thin, without judgment. And when we slip, we just gently bring ourselves back to our practices. So what is the best Tantra practice? In terms of consistently preserving and cultivating sexual energy, systematically practicing cultivating ecstatic conductivity in sitting practices is the best way to learn to cultivate this energy throughout your body. There are easy lessons for people who want to start to cultivate ecstatic energy in the body through awakening the ecstatic kundalini. Certain practices like pranayama breath, like breath of fire, spinal stretching, spinal breathing, cultivate stimulation in the root, and then we can channel that energy up through our body with our breath. This is the same practice that we can do in masturbation, and pre-orgasmic hold-back methods, where we learn to stay on the edge of genital orgasm or ejaculatory orgasm, or for women, we learn to stay in the center of the orgasmic energy as it rises throughout the body, and then channel that energy throughout the chakra system, throughout the heart, throughout the nervous system. These practices can be taken to great heights by skilled practitioners who are devoted to steady discipline of spinal breathing, pranayama, deep meditation, and other sitting practices. It is stimulative and always pre-orgasmic once the energy is stabilized as a regular part of our practices. Doing these practices simultaneously with spinal breathing pranayama and daily meditation has the powerful benefit of cultivating sexual energy while our nervous system is engaged in deep spiritual processes. So some people might say, that's not having sex. I want to have more sex. I want to have better sex. That's right. As we have discussed already in this talk, the methods for working towards staying in principle are not about having sex or genital orgasm or better sex. The methods that we're discussing in these principles in Tantra practice are about preserving and cultivating our pre-orgasmic sexual energy and then taking that into our sexual relations. Certainly, tantric sex is wonderful and it's the definite aid on the path and it's a definite beautiful experience on the path of tantric enlightenment, and it can be taken to great heights, especially when you have a skilled partner. So for men especially, the methods of hold back, blocking, and etc. are easy to learn, and they're very effective in being able to cultivate this pre-orgasmic state that then cleanses your nervous system, calms your nervous system, and allows you to transcend into enlightened and intuitive states of being. The underlying principles of tantric yogis and yoginis remain the same. It is the preservation and cultivation of sexual energy. The foundation for tantra practice is there, no matter what else, no matter what may happen with your sex life. Beyond what we do, whatever comes naturally in our sex life, if we are devoted to our tantra practice, we will find ourselves naturally drawn to the principles of preservation and cultivation in our sexual relations and in the processes of our development of our life. Ultimately, in true tantric living, what matters most is the permeation in our bodies and surrounding of the inner silence and ecstatic bliss. If we have accomplished that, then exactly how we have handled sexual energy becomes clear. If we apply the underlying principle and utilize the multiple practices, we will get the results in all areas of our lives. So in the end, sexual cultivation and the cultivation of ecstatic conductivity become one and the same and are happening all the time, even outside practices. All of our lives become an automatic part of our internal functioning. Then we are living in constant inner lovemaking. As the process of a male and female confluence in us do not disappear, they continue to integrate within, so will our inner attitudes and sexuality. We will become more outwardly balanced. No, we do not become androgynous in the sense of becoming non-sexual beings, just the opposite. We become the field of constant lovemaking of the feminine and masculine energies within us. We become a constant orgy of Shakti and Shiva energies. It is the blending of ecstatic conductivity and inner silence. This inner process of enlightenment has also come to involve the blending of euphoria and lightness within the human being. each of us, all of us, as we progress, advancing all the time in the mind and body and the human nervous system, this energy becomes a field of play for us. Our body becomes our temple. Tantric practitioners like to use the body to take this process as far as we can go in this life. Later on, the body becomes a pure channel for the divine energies that are awakening within. As we rise to enlightenment, we find ourselves with the combined qualities of unshakable inner silence, ecstatic bliss, and the outpouring of divine love. Then all who are around us become as dear to us as our own self. Then naturally, we'd like to stimulate the emergence of divine joy in everyone as much as we can. It is a natural evolution which we are hastening along, fertilizing in water with our yoga tantric practices. Let's all embark upon the path of taking full advantage of our sacred temple, our human nervous system, as long as we can. Tantra practice is for ourselves and for everyone that we bond with in this life. Thank you so much for being with me today. I'm Dakini Oceana. This is the Sensual by Nature podcast, What is Tantra? I'm so overjoyed that you joined me today. I welcome you to wander around my website, sensualbynaturestudio.com, read some of my blogs, some of my words, some of my poetry, and podcasts here. And if you feel that you want to reach out, send an email, and we can talk about whether walking along the tantric path and me possibly being your guide are one and the same. And I hope to hear from you, and I really honestly hope that our time together today in this talk has moved you and enlightened you and opened you up to understand yourself, understand your interests, your intentions, and your vision more clearly. I'd be happy to become your Dakini and guide in your exploration of the tantric path. Shut your eyes. Blessings to you. Thank you for joining us for this week's session of Sensual by Nature. Please join me, Oceana, again next time. Tune in to sensualbynaturestudio.com for upcoming shows. May the coming week bring you inspiration.